Okay, now each week we've been thinking a little bit about reasons why it's sensible to believe in God. I'm going to come around here. We're thinking about another reason this morning. You might find that maybe people at school, maybe even your teachers, or maybe sometimes people on TV and things like that, talk about believing in God as if it's something a bit silly. I don't know if you've come across people like that. Well, it's a good question to ask. Is it silly to believe in God, or is it sensible? Are there good reasons why we should believe in God? So that's what we're thinking about. We've thought about some reasons. And this week we're thinking about something called, let's call it design, argument from design. Now, if you really wanted to Google this, you'd have to Google that. The teleological argument for the existence of God, which is really hard to pronounce. But if you wanted to Google it and read more about this, that's what you can look for. So, one of the people who are most famous for this argument, for explaining this argument, the reason to believe in God, is this guy called William Paley, who was a Christian who lived a long time ago. And as you can see, William Paley had a bad haircut, but he had a very clever brain. And he wrote this book with a very long title. I wonder if any of the kids can try and read that title. That, all of that is the title of his book. Anyone want to have a go? No? I'll try. Natural Theology or Evidences of the Existence and Attributes of the Deity Collected from the Appearances of Nature. It's a really long title. And this book was all about reasons why it's sensible to believe in God. Reasons why when we look at the world around us, there are things we can see that lead us to believe there really is a God. Now, in this book, he told an illustration. Okay, he said, imagine you're out for a walk one day in the countryside, and maybe no drums right now, okay? A bit later, yeah? You can have no drums for this. He said, imagine you're walking out in the countryside, and you bump your foot against something hard, and look down to see what it is, and it was one of these. A pocket watch. And you pick it up, and then Lenny, do you want to see something interesting? I'll show you this in a minute. You pick it up and you have a look at it. You've never seen one of these before. And you ask yourself, how did that get there? How did that object get there? What would your answer be? If you're walking across the field and you found this on the floor, and you ask yourself, how did it get there? Where did it come from? What would you think? Fell out someone's bag. Yeah? What else over here? What would you think? That's on the pocket. Yeah, okay. And why would you answer that? If you just found a stone on the floor, William Paley said, if you found a stone, you wouldn't think the same thing. You'd just think, oh, that stone, maybe it's always been there, or maybe it just rolled down a hill. Someone could have picked up and thrown it, but could have just been there by accident, but you wouldn't think the same if you found a watch. Now why is that? Okay? It might belong to someone. Yeah, but how do you know? What is it about the watch that you know it's not just there by an accident? Okay, how can you tell it's man-made? Too complicated. Okay, now, here is a pocket watch. I'm going to pass around and have a look at it. Okay, you can have a look at this and look at that, Lenny. Have a look at this in a minute. And the really cool thing about this one is when you press this button, it pops open at the front and back. They've got no batteries. This is what's really cool about these. They don't work with batteries. And you can look inside at what's in there and how it works. I'll pass it around and you can look inside both sides and tell me, what can you see inside? What different things can you see? What's in there? What can you see in there, Lindsay?
Like
Cooks, yeah, there are cooks. How many cooks? Can you count them? Four or five, yeah. It might be even more than that. Oh, more than five. Yeah, I pass it. Okay, here's a question for you. What describing words, this is what we call an adjective, it's describing words. What describing words would we use to describe that block? Press the button on the top and it'll come over. What describing words would you use for that? Yeah?
Old.
Old, yeah? Okay, yeah? It's an old style. What?
Cool.
Cool. Is that what you said? Cool. Yeah, what else? What do you reckon? How would you describe it? What do you think, Ben?
Musty
crusty. Musty crusty. What about you, sir? What about, how would you describe the inside of it? How would you describe the inside, all those little parts? Complicated, yeah, that's a good word. What else? Technical, yeah? Anything else?
Gold, shiny.
Yeah, it's not actually real gold, it's good for us. Okay. So, it's really complicated. Each part inside there, each little part, Henry, each tiny little part in there does something important. If you took out just one of those little cogs, it wouldn't work. But if you took away the hands on it, hands that tell time, it wouldn't do the same job. You need every single part in there. And everything's moving at just the right speed so that it tells the time. And so, if you found this in a field, even if you've never seen one of these before, you would look at it and you, just by looking at it, would be able to see that this must have been designed by someone, okay? Someone must have designed it. And so you would then be able to conclude that there must have been a watchmaker. Makers. So, he found the watch, and it's clear that it's been designed by someone, so there must be a watchmaker. Even if you've never seen him, you've never met him before, you would come to that conclusion. Okay? So this is what Paley said. And he said, because we would never think that a watch should come about by accident, you would never find this and think, oh, maybe some stones bumped against each other, or maybe there was a little explosion, maybe there was a big bang, and a watch popped out. Normally when there are explosions, explosions make more mess, so don't make complex design things. So if we think that about a watch, we should think the same thing about the universe around us. And the thing is, there are many more things that are much more complicated than this pocket watch in the universe and in our world that show signs of design. Therefore, we should also conclude that there must be a God. Just like if we found a watch, we know there must be a watchmaker. When we see how complex the world is, there must be a God who's made it. That's what William Paley said. And here are just a few examples. Who can tell me what this is? Especially if you're in secondary school. You know. What did you say? A cell, yeah. And they're all the different parts of a cell. Nowadays, we know much more about cells, and we know they are extremely complicated. And again, each part does something really important in a cell. Here's another example. This is the oxygen cycle. And how is it that in the world, there is this system in place where we've got evaporation, oh no, that's the water cycle, sorry, we're going ahead, the oxygen cycle. We have plants that produce oxygen. They heat up carbon dioxide and they produce oxygen. And then that provides oxygen for animals and plants to breathe. They turn that into carbon dioxide and the whole thing goes round and round in a perfect balance. So there's always air for us to breathe and there's life. And the same is true of the water cycle.
How is it that it's a bit like a watch going round and round? There's a system in place in perfect
balance of evaporation, condensation, precipitation, collection.
And all of that causes there to be water spread out over the world for plants and animals. It causes water to be cleaned and means there can be life. And they're just a few examples. There's many things like that in the world that are really complicated and amazing. And they show signs of design.
And so, this is our reason for this week. It's reasonable to believe there's a God because we can see design in nature.
And we're going to come to our Bible reading for today, which is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and from verse 21. So that's, if you want to follow along in the church Bibles, it's on page, hang on, nearly there, 985, page 985. Matthew chapter 18 from verse 21. Ben, are you going to come and read it? You can use this one up here if you want. It's got one ready for you. So it's from there to there. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen carefully.
Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who went to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children ought to be sold to repay this debt. At this time, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and cancelled the debt and let him go. And when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay me back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went to the master and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back what he owed. 'This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart.'"
So we're continuing looking at Jesus' parables. And this parable makes it really clear that to be a Christian, it's not just about believing in God. It's not just about how we treat God, but it's also about how we treat other people. To God, it's really important the way we treat others. And Jesus talked about this in lots of ways during his lifetime. One thing he said was this: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." And he said, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, to illustrate this, I've got two sets of scales. Okay? And the funny thing is about these, let me just turn that one off. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, we've got some yummy sweets here, and Anne is having a look to see who deserves a yummy sweet, who's listening carefully. I was wondering, could I get, John, could you swap places with Freddie, please? Come and sit here, Freddie. I think you're getting too hot there, I can tell, with that jumper on, and that coat on next to the radiator, I don't want you getting too sweaty. There you go. So there's lots of sweets for children that are listening carefully, and who take part in helping me do some acting in a minute. Okay? Anyway, I've got these two sets of scales, and the funny thing is about them, when I step on this one, it says I'm 12 and a half stone. Okay? And when I step on this one, let me get it to work. It says I'm 14 and hope. Just went up to 14.8. Started. That one says I'm 12.5. That one says I'm 14.8. So the question is, which one do you think I prefer using? That one, yes. I prefer using that one, okay? Because I'm light on that one. Bring it. When I stand on this one, I think, oh, fantastic. I don't need to have much exercise. I'm okay. I'm not too heavy. But when I step on this one, I think, oh, no. I need to do more running and swimming. Now, here's another question for you. Which one do you think I like other people to use?
I
feel
like that one.
Yeah, why?
Because
it makes me feel big. Yeah, why is that? And that's exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, when he talked about the measure you use, that's, you know, scales are something we measure weight with, and he said, with the measure you use, it will be used for you. So, what's that got to do with what Jesus was saying? What it is, we tend to go very light on ourselves, but we tend to be harsher on other people. So he said, we tend to be very light with our own mistakes, but when we see other people doing mistakes, it's like we like using that set of scales with them. And Jesus is saying that God will judge us not by this one that we like using for ourselves, but he'll judge us by this one that we use for other people. That's what Jesus said. If we're very harsh on other people, on their mistakes, when they do wrong, then God will be harsh on us. If we don't show grace and forgiveness to other people, then grace and forgiveness won't be shown to us by God. So the way we treat others really matters to God and to our relationship with God. Now, Jesus also told a story that illustrates that. You can have a go on those later and see if you find the same thing when you stand on them. And it was this parable that we just read, that Ben read for us. It's a parable about forgiveness. Now, I need some volunteers who will be rewarded if they come and help me with this. I need someone to be a king. Okay, Ben, there you go. There's a crown. Hang on. See if you can. Let's see. I think that might be a bit small for you, is it? Maybe not. Oh, wrong way around. Do you reckon you could get that on? Yep. Well, then you can go and get someone to help you with that. While you're getting that, you can go over there and get ready and get that on. And then I need a servant. And a servant, okay.
What did that mean?
You have to say a few things. Okay, is that all right? Now, what should we choose for a servant? See if that fits. I think that might be a bit small for
you. Oh,
go on then. Try that on. I think it goes this way. Okay, yeah, that looks fine. Brilliant. Hang on, I've got a hat for you. Well, not a hat, I've got this, whatever it is. That can go over your head. There you go. Brilliant. I need another servant. Okay, try that one, Anna. I'll tell you what, you can have this round your waist. Do you want to get someone to help you with that?
No.
Okay. Now, need some help with that, Anna. There you go. Get around in there. Oh, don't forget, you have one of these on your head. So, there you go. Brilliant. And you can put that around your waist. So,
feel that then.
There you go. Perfect. And I need a guard.
Freddie.
I need a guard, okay. Let's see. This one maybe? What's
that?
See if you can get that on.
What am I again, sir?
You're a server. And I need one more guard. Right over here. Yeah. Let's see if that might fit you. Maybe that one? Where's the arm? Okay. Do you want to try that one? Okay. Brilliant. Fantastic.
Leave it.
What else have we got in here? Oh, we've got something extra for the king. That'll make you look even more royal. Nice. You put that over your shoulder, I reckon. Brilliant. Okay. Anyone else? Lenny, do you want to have a costume? No? Okay. Just gonna watch. John, what about you? You're missing all the action. Are you sure? Okay, brilliant. What about you, Lily? Is that really keen to join in? You tell your wavering. Okay, if you change your mind, you put anything on there. Okay, right. Okay, you're going to sit down for now. And we are going to retell the story, and you're going to help me act it out, okay? So, Jesus told this story one day because Peter, who was one of his disciples, came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? And he said, should I forgive them up to 7 times? Peter thought, that's quite a generous number of times. Seems quite reasonable. But Jesus answered him, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Now, when Jesus said 77, he didn't mean, if you go over 77 to 78, then you've got to stop. Jesus' point was, you forgive someone, and you forgive them, and you forgive them again and again, you keep forgiving them. It really meant an infinite number of times. And it was then, talking about forgiveness, that Jesus told this story. So here we go, Acts 1, scene 1. We need a king on the throne. There's your throne. And let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been together today. Thank you for the children and adults. Thank you that we can read your word and it teaches us things that are important and relevant to us, just as much as they were when you first taught. Thank you for being with us today. We pray that you'll continue to be with us as we have lunch together. And we just pray that during the week you'd help each one of us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.